This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Excited. I am excited because I know what I want to say. You don't know. Acts 9:35. Get your Bibles out there. I'm just going to jump into the Word straight away. I ain't going to talk short stories and long stories. I want to get into the Word, okay? Today is not the day for long introductions. Okay, you can say amen on that. It's a positive, man. It means you can go home earlier. I don't know how long the sermon will go, but as I'm getting excited. Help me to land the plane later as well. And I don't crash the plane while you're sleeping, you know. Acts 9:32-35, just a quick background on that. I was spending time with the Lord and just been reading through in my own personal study time with the Lord through Acts, and you know, Acts is just full of miracle after miracle and amazing story about the work of the Holy Spirit. And then I just stumbled upon this one again. You know, read this before, and for some other reason, you sometimes just read over that, and then as the Lord wants it, this is being highlighted to you. Acts 9:32. Now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you." Powerful. "Arise and make your bed." Then he arose immediately. And look at that verse 35. So all, just so that we all get it, the intensity of what's happened here. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Actually, I went to study to read up on a little bit in that area, Lydda and Sharon. And the area just of Sharon is next to the coast. We had the coast. That's about 10 miles by 10 by 50. So that's, I think, in our terms, 16 by 80 kilometers area, Sharon. Okay. Can I help you there just to interpret this to you? If it would have happened here today, all the people, let me just rephrase it, because sometimes it doesn't ring home. There's a man in Swakopmund that people in Entis Bay know, that people in Swakopmund know, and people in Walvis Bay know as well. And then Jesus uses his disciples, Peter, steps into the story, say, "Jesus heals you," and then all three towns get saved. Boom. That is power. Don't be so quiet. That's worth aiming. That's the type of God I serve. I'm charged up. You remember, I was in the first service, I'm sweating. My girl came to me, "Daddy, you are wet everywhere," but it's just, I'm so excited. I feel like I'm on a high. Okay? And it's not because this other stuff is legalized and we can eat and drink stuff. If you ever wonder, this is pure water. Okay? There's nothing in the water. I'm just excited about the God we serve. And I hope that after today, you are as excited, not necessarily like me, but even more. You know? Just getting to that place of realizing who are we serving here. What are we talking about here? We're reading a story about a miracle that took place in the whole. I mean, we will be out of work. I'll be out of work if that happens, you know. Now at least we'll have to disciple the people. Okay. But think about that. One miracle that takes place, and an area like that is just covered. Boom, people come to Christ. That is like next level. Did it stop? Yeah, I think it stopped in a way, but is it still available? Let me put it. Is that power still available? Let me put it that way. We're probably not seeing it. I told you the story about my trailer and the accident we had, so we got another one. God was so good to us. Anyway, he replaced all of the natural stuff. Anyway, long story short, so I had a key that I had to take to the guy, the locksmith here, and it's a little key like that. And I took the key to him. I said to him, "Listen, I've got only this one key. Can you make me a copy of this key?" And the guy looked at the key and he said to me, "Sorry, this key is too short, is too small. I can't make another copy." So I realized this key, I have to protect this key and guard this key, because this key unlocks so many little locks on that trailer. If I lose that, I'll have to break a lot of stuff there. But it's precious and valuable to me. And people, oh, wait, why did the doors end behind my, underneath my name? That's not supposed to be like that. I don't know what happened there. That's, forget about that. It's not Jaco van Rooyen doors. That's not my surname. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know why I'm squeezed in between that, but that it's not supposed to be like that. Anyway, but here's the thing. Could it be that we are holding a small key in our hand this morning that we will possibly be talking about, that we possibly nurture, polish, use it now and then, and then put it back there, and then we might come back next Sunday, and we take out that little key, and we talk about our little key, and it's an amazing key here, it's precious, and we'll use it a little bit to unlock it, and then we go back, and we will use it on a Tuesday morning, a little bit of that key, then we go back home, and as and when we use it, as it fits me. There's a little key that I think that unlocks so many big doors, because this little key's got access to so many things, which I believe we underestimate. I'm talking about prayer this morning, people. The power of prayer. But I'm not going to talk so much about why you should pray. If you ask me this morning why I should pray, I'm going to say to you, go back and ask Jesus that. Get saved again. That's just the bottom line. Sorry. Because if you're really in love with Jesus, you don't need a pastor, you don't need a leader to tell you why you need to talk to Jesus. I mean, if I have to tell you why you need to talk to Jesus, I'm really considering that, or wondering and doubt whether you are really in love with Jesus, whether you really met him. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He does something inside of us that when we come to that place of surrendering, when we meet him, he wants to talk with you. I can't be in those dark places, or say dark places, or those places where I am not, at home, wherever. He wants to commune with you. He wants to talk to you. But here's the thing. There's more in this talking. There's more in this prayer. And I more want to focus on the power behind this. Because here's the thing. With these people, Peter walking there, seeing a lame man, paralyzed man, and says, Jesus of Nazareth heals you. Boom, the guy gets up and the whole town gets saved, or the area gets saved. That's power. They were willing to walk there. Luke 24 verse 49. Jesus promises this to his disciples. Look at that scripture. Can we go to Luke 24? Now he's on his way. Jesus says, listen guys, just relax. I've got an amazing promise here for you. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. By the way, Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. Listen, Jesus appeared to more than 500 people after his resurrection. Okay? He gave them a promise. He said, wait in Jerusalem. Don't go out in your own strength. There's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Until that time, the Holy Spirit was not poured out on the people. But when we see in Acts 1 verse 8, can we go to that scripture? Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When that takes place, how many people received that? 120. You read that. Where were the other 360 people? Oh no, we couldn't wait. Carry it on in their own strength. I think so. Wait. Jesus says, wait. Wait. Receive that and then you go. Now there's another scripture. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures here this morning. But I just want to bring a point across here that there's something more in our walk that we're not tapping into. Either because we're ignorant, either because we do not understand that, either because we don't desire that. I don't know what it might be. But I trust God this morning, that somewhere in this year, something is going to switch in our spirit, in our inner man here, in our approach in prayer, in the way we look at God, the way we commune with God. See, does God have all the power? Did the power cease? Huh? Some churches preach that. You know that. Some churches in this town preaches that certain stuff stopped when the apostles, they took it with them almost. They're preaching that. They say it stopped when the apostles died. So in other words, the gifting died with Peter and John and whoever. Don't even go in tongues and all that. That's what they preach. I will show that to you, but we're not here to knock churches. That's not the point. I'm just saying to you that all that power, the reason why we're not seeing it is not because it's not active anymore. It's just because somewhere, something, there's not a connection here. And we even preach that. So we sit here. We jump through this thing Sunday after Sunday. We go through cell after cell. We go through meeting after meeting. And it's possible, Shofar Christian Church, Swakopmund, that we can even step into that trap of going through motions and not experiencing the fullness of God. Huh? Let's not talk about other churches this morning. Let's allow God to talk to us this morning, to take us to that place of fullness. Do we earn any of those things? Does God earn, or do we earn an answer on our prayers? Do we need to release a certain amount of that? It's all questions that's bothering me. Can I tell you a joke? Some of you who's been in the first service, don't. You should laugh as well, because I told you that as well. So just pretend you didn't hear this joke. But the little boy that went to his father and said, "Dad, I want a brother boy, a brother, like this little beautiful boy." And his dad said, "No, you need to pray for that." And he stood in agreement and he prayed for 1 month and nothing happened. Then he thought, "I'll pray another month." And he prayed another month and nothing happened. Then he prayed another month and nothing happened. Then he thought, "Okay, I'll give up." And then 6 months down the line, his dad came to him one day and said, "Listen, Johnny, let me go and take you somewhere." They went to the hospital, opened the curtains, and there's a little boy lying there. And his dad said, "This is your brother. Well, I want to show you something else." Another curtain, another one. He said, and by the way, there's another one. And it opens up three boys lying there, three brothers. And he looked at Johnny and said, "Ain't you glad that you've got three brothers now?" And Johnny looked at his dad and said, "Ain't you glad that I stopped praying after 3 months?" The power of prayer, huh? If you only know. It's possible. I joked with Gili. I said, "Gili, listen to this in the first service. Pay attention." The power of prayer, Ephesians 3. Let's quickly look at that scripture this morning. Amazing scripture, Ephesians 3, verse 14. "For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." It's up here at the back if you don't have it in your Bibles. "That your Bible doesn't have that, then it's in our Bible here. That he would grant you," no, you can't find that, I mean, "according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." By the way, this whole passage is like, it's so, almost one, so deep and heavy that you need to read it word for word and then just say, okay, this one is deep. I mean, this prayer that he's praying here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That is a powerful, powerful scripture. Ephesians 3:20. How many of you are so, I want to say, confident that scripture is well known to you? Ephesians 3:20. Who knows that scripture? "Now to him who is able to do." Say it with me. You can read it there. Pretend that you know it. And okay, it's fine. I won't look you in the eyes. But just say it with me. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Okay? The Holy Spirit. Who wrote scripture? Men inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So when he wrote this, he had to describe the Godhead, the God that we are serving this morning, the God that you are serving. Hopefully it's the same God that we're serving. But anyway, here's the thing. When he wrote that scripture, and you look at the grammar of that scripture, it's amazingly that Afrikaans doesn't do it any favor. But in this case, it's a good day to come to the English service, because I had to even preach in English than the Afrikaans service just to get this across, because some of this translation is just lost. But when he had to describe the Godhead, and he said, "Now to him who is able to do all that you ask or think," the writer had to stop for a moment and say, no, this doesn't adequately describe the God that I am serving. "Now to him who is able to do above all that you ask or think." Now it still doesn't describe the God that I serve. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Think about that. This heavy, man. That is a scripture that will take me so far. that when I'm in times of overwhelmment, when we hit the wall somewhere, then we can just stand there. Now to him, say it with me. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's the God that you serve. Isn't that enough to go home and just say, "Woo, God, that's the God I serve." But there's another part of that scripture that we don't always know that well. The second part of that scripture. According to the power that works. That works in Jesus. No. The power that works in us. People, the power that works in us. Why do we not see that power in the church always? Or my own life? Did it cease? I think we already agreed to that. We already saw that. I mean, it's still there. It's just not active here. That Greek word, that word according to, you can check it up. It's the Greek word kata. It means this: measurement, distribution, or measure out. Let me rephrase the scripture for you. According to the power that you measure out. Now, can I ask it this way to you? How much of that power are you measuring out to your family? How much of that power are you measuring out to your financial situation? How much of that power are you measuring out to your cell group? And we can ask ourselves the question maybe in the season where we are at. By the way, tomorrow morning our contract is on site and there's no turnaround. Woo! That means no turnaround, okay? It separates those that are afraid from those that are saying, "Lord, here we are. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think." You should become much more excited about that. That's a miracle that's about to take place in front of your eyes about our new church building. But we'll have to measure it out. Some of that power, applying that. And say, "Jesus, there's power somewhere. The same power that raised you from the dead is the same power that's been made available to us. But according to that, what we measure out, we'll experience that." How is it that some experience more, that some see more? How is it that the normal fisherman will just walk past that man and say, "In the name of Jesus, get up"? I mean, did Jesus give them any superpowers? No. There's no Superman, no Captain America, no Captain Israel, no Captain Lida or Sharon or whatever that area was. He wasn't a super being. He was just a man connected to Jesus, yielded to the Spirit of God, willing to completely surrender themselves to that place. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes through that. I mean, that inspires me just to say, "Jesus, I want to run for you. Jesus, more of me. Jesus, what else do you want to have?" You know, this morning as we've been praying, it's just amazing. The Holy Spirit will just continue revealing stuff that you have to repent. "Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Sorry, Holy Spirit. Sorry, I never did that." I mean, he's showing me people. You amongst these people, but you never pray for these people. You're just so blind, so busy with almost like church stuff and a lot of other stuff, but you're living amongst them and you're not even thinking of. And I choose to repent for that for a moment, because the Holy Spirit wants to flow through us. The power wants to be released in our lives. Can I say this to you? I believe, you know what, the power of God is, the unlimited power of God is limited in our lives through our limited prayers. The unlimited power of God is limited in our lives through our limited prayers, for our limited perception of God. How we sometimes perceive God as the one, we've got this little box that we put him in. And he can't do this because my mind, it doesn't make sense to me. And it's okay that God every now and then just blow your whole switch box, or what is it? This the DB box. Like with the, when too much power goes through there, it comes. Because we just cannot contain this kind of God. Sometimes that needs to happen. Then you rewire yourself then and just say, "God, I need to help me." In John 7, Jesus uses an analogy of this river. John, that famous scripture in John 7:37 says, "I'm the living water." Huh? Let's go to that. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So here's the thing. We're saying to ourselves this morning that God has deposited His power in us. It's our responsibility to measure that out. Okay? We don't necessarily do it, but it's our responsibility to measure that out, to flow in that power, to move in that power. But when Jesus comes and He says to His people, listen, I'm that river. On the last day of that feast, they're talking about a feast day. He's using this analogy of a river. Now, if Christ is present in your life, if Jesus is present in your life, in my life this morning, I've just got one simple question for you. How wide is your river? Because He's there. It just depends how much you allow Him to flow. So Jesus, I will surrender, or I want to surrender to utterly. And the more I surrender, the more I just yield to the Spirit, what happens? Something opens on the inside. Is it just a trickle this morning? Like a tap. Or you need to open up. You need to surrender. You need to yield to the Spirit of God and say, Jesus, here I am. It's amazing what the Spirit of God can do with a man that is totally, with a woman that is totally surrendered unto God. I'm preaching to myself here this morning. That's willing to totally yield to the Spirit of God. On the last day of that feast, what day of feast are they referring to? See, the Jews were praying for living water at that moment as that was taking place, as Jesus stood up in the midst. For 7 days, they were praying for living water. Where did this living water come from? When Moses spoke to the rock and he hit the rock, water came out of the rock. You know that story in Exodus, yeah? So the Jews would always refer to that as living water. In actual fact, there's a prophecy in Zechariah 14:8, I believe, that promises about the living water that will come forth out of Jerusalem. Okay? Referring to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and all of that. So they're going through these motions for 7 days. They're praying. Jesus said, oh, not Jesus. They're praying, God, send us, Father, send us living water, living water, living water. While in the meanwhile, they're parting. This is what history tells us, that they're acting so religious. They're just going through the motions. Send us living water, send us living water. And then on the eighth day, what they did is, if they didn't get living water, they would get up and say, by the way, Lord, just give us natural water if we can't get living water. Can I just pause there for a moment? I just wonder if Namibia is maybe not at the same place. Jesus, just send us rain. Send us rain. Send us rain. Just help us here. Lord, this is so dry. Lord, the animals die. Are we more concerned about the natural? And we're going to pray in a moment for that. That's great. I'm fully with this. And we're praying for that. And we initiated, or not we, but the group of believers, the body of believers, over this last week prayed for natural rain. But are we more concerned about the natural rain than we are concerned about the spiritual rain? We'll call out the national week of prayer, which is necessary, and hear my heart, it's all necessary. But have we ever called out a national week of prayer for the spiritual condition of our country? I remember when Michael Howard touched on that, and it stuck with me, and it was just reminded, the Holy Spirit reminded me this morning again, is, have we seen revival in Namibia? No. But yet we are comfortable with that. Yet we are courageous to go through the motions, having church on a Sunday after Sunday and say, Jesus, this is lekker. Are we so hungry? I'm asking myself. And when you go into this, it's like tough because now I have to repent my own heart. Have I become so callous, so busy with stuff that I'm just going through motions and say, Jesus, another day at church. It's like I enjoy the people. But God, we want spiritual rain. We want spiritual rain. Spiritual rain. Living water. Living water. Living water. Because here's the thing. The natural water, it's a press of a button in heaven. We don't get it. But it's a reality. Actually, it's just a word. It's not even a button. It's just a thought. That's the God we serve. I mean, by the way, you can just say, listen, send some rain. Well, let it rain there. And it rained. We are going to ask for rain in the natural. But are we more concerned, or should we be more concerned about the living water? Jesus gets up and He says to them, I am that living water here in the midst. Listen, if Ephesians says you've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the spiritual realms, do you see that in your life? All of them. Can be honest with me. I don't, let me answer this. Maybe you feel you're on the spot. You don't know whether you're going to answer right or wrong. I don't see all of them in my life. Can I add any spiritual blessing to what's been written in this scripture? Can I ask, invent a new one, design a new one, say, listen, God, let me just rewrite the scripture, add another blessing here. I want that one. It's all here. It's all been done. It's already been written up, declared, given to us. Listen, these are the blessings. You can decide whether you want to access them. You're going to measure that out to your family, to your situation. You're going to yield to the Spirit of God so that that would take hold of you and you, and it manifests in this natural realm. Salvation. Let's put it that way. Can we add anything to salvation? No. Jesus has done it all. Finish. Finisho. Klar. He said it is finished. But just because it's finished doesn't mean that you've experienced it. You might sit in this audience this morning, but you've never experienced the gift of salvation. It didn't change the giver. It didn't change him who created it or who gave it to us. But it's still there. What needs to happen? You need to get access to that. You need to reach out in faith, in the spiritual realm, and say, Jesus, I take hold of that. Salvation is for me. Here I am. And it becomes mine. Huh? Now there are many more. It's not just salvation. I don't know why some people just stop at salvation and baptism. It's not a blessing, but we stop there and we're like, okay, now I'm happy. I'm in there. I just made it. I've got my insurance written, death insurance taken. I know at least if the fire insurance. What's that? Fireproof. There's so much more. Church of God, there's so much more that God wants us to access. But we must draw that through faith in the spiritual realm, through our prayers, access that source of power within us and release that into the world. Amen. You're too quiet for me, this morning. I don't know. I'm excited about that kind of power that God has given us. This morning I was praying at the back already. And I just saw this picture and the Lord said to me, you know, people, sometimes we become so religious. You know why we become religious? Because anything that doesn't have an outflow, if you take a dam or you take the Dead Sea, we all know that. What happens to water that's just standing, gathering up? Stink. Huh? Salty, stinky. Yeah. You know what a religious person, a religious church, all they do is just gather a lot of more information. A little bit of people come together every Sunday. Come. We gather a little bit more. But we don't flow out. We never get involved somewhere. We need to place ourselves in an uncomfortable place where God's Spirit can yield for us, where we're not in control anymore, where we have to serve, where we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. That's the thing with religion. It's just this gathering of knowledge, almost want to say, that puffs up and stink. That's why God has designed us to serve. He's designed us to have an outlet. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't go that far. You're clever, you're in my... I mean, we all have an outlet. That's what I wanted to say. Okay, on a lighter note. But God has designed everything in life to take in and go out. Why? So that you can stay alive. The human being is a physical. Every natural being that God has created, animal, is like that. Can you imagine if you just eat? You'll die. But you spiritually die as well. And we've been created like that. God wants to use that for that power to flow through us. But we must access this and let go of that. So Elijah prays for rain. And then he had to pray for 7 times after that. Keep on praying for rain. And God said, I have done it. But Elijah keeps on doing that. Keep on praying. Daniel keeps on praying for 21 days. And then when the angel eventually appears, he says, listen, I heard your prayer on the first day, but I was resisted. But here's the thing. We keep on praying. We access that little bit of power. And then we're like, oh, no, nothing is happening. Let's just stand back. I mean, I don't know. Maybe God doesn't like me. Maybe I'm out of tune. Maybe I don't hear God. But sometimes God places that in your spirit and he wants you to persist with that and just to persevere and just say, keep on praying. Keep on praying. I mean, we would go to the hot tub there in our bathroom and we open it up and then we'd stand there and we wait for the hot water, believing that it would come. You don't think there, is the hot water going to come? No, you just believe it. I don't know about you, I do, okay? I don't know if you have to put your faith every time in the wondering, is it going to, today we're not going to have hot water. No, I open it up and I just trust, you know, unless you turned off the geyser. Yeah, if you do that, then you realize, oh, I forgot to turn on the geyser. But if you had the bathroom where our kids bath, the pipes are a little bit longer probably. It takes longer than the other bathroom. So you stand there a little bit longer, but you know that you know eventually will come. In actual fact, I put a lot of faith in that tap that the hot water will come. But we've got more faith in that than sometimes in prayer. We pray a little bit. No, it doesn't work. Let's move on. Try something new. And the Holy Spirit is just saying, keep on, keep on. It's there. Measure it out. Somewhere, something is going to burst forth and come forth out of that. That's the kind of God we serve. Ephesians tells us that's the power, the spiritual blessings, the letter to the Ephesians. That's inside of us. Measure it out this morning. Say it with me. I need to measure it out. I need to measure it out. You need to go back home and think, you know what? There's some areas that I need to measure it out. The power of prayer. The power inside of us. Jesus, I apply this. Let me tell you a story. It's not a favorite story. I have to tell it very selectively in protection of the people and identity of the people. But it's a point I want to bring across here. Some time ago, something happened with people in our community and congregation. So what it basically boils down to is that the unrighteous people or group of unrighteous people raised up and they came against this righteous people in our midst. And as a result of their arrogance and unrighteousness, because what it was just arrogance, where they became so confident in themselves, of self-sufficient, and we are just, because a lot of the stuff that we are experiencing today in the world is just arrogance, the pride and arrogance of man. I'm the source, I'm so great, my business, I am so healthy, I did this. I mean, you hear this, I, me, I can, that's arrogance. I mean, the opposite of that is humility. When God says he will spiritually, we will personally resist that. Because humility is just, God, you are my source. God, I'm dependent upon you. Doesn't matter how well your business is doing, God, you are the one that gives me the ability. You are the one, you are the source. Anyway, so these people were working for these people, and these people started with a complot. Complot, what is it in English?
Conspiracy.
Just to come against them. Now, I can't share all the details. It was just, you wouldn't do that with your normal, any person. I mean, I wouldn't even treat, I want to say, an unbeliever, if I can put it that. Forgive me for describing it that way. But any human being, you don't treat human beings like that, and you don't do stuff like that. So all the stuff that happened is, these people suffered as a result of this. But at the moment, as we were in a relationship and you love people, when that happened, something in the inside of me rose up. And it's a godly anger that stood up and said, God, this cannot be. We cannot just let this go. You know, you can fight that in the natural. Oh, I know, off to, I know, this, you know, sometimes we can probably do that. I'm not saying don't do that. But God didn't want us to do that. So something rose up inside of me and I just knew, God, I cannot let this go. And I heard the Spirit of God say to me, the first time in the time when I'm serving him, never had such an instruction, so I had to keep it for myself. I told my wife, actually. But I didn't want to share with other people because I know some might not have a reference for this and this will blow in them. He said to me, go to that place and close heavens over that business. Because here's the thing. Father, doesn't matter if you're serving him or not, righteous and unrighteous, he's still the one that sends the rain. He's still the one that keeps you alive. It's just his grace, if you don't know him, it's just his grace over your life that's keeping you there, hoping that somewhere you'll just acknowledge him and say, Jesus, you are actually the source. You've been here. I mean, think about your own life. I sometimes think about that. I mean, how I could have died, something could have happened to me. Then it blows me completely, the whole thing about grace that's just been there for me while I was just living my own life. That's the kind of God we serve. His grace is so immense over his blanket of grace. So what happens from time to time, the arrogance of man would just rise up over and above that, you know, and it's just so, I want to say, stinking in the nostrils that God would have to say, listen, this is enough. And God said, I want you to go and pray and close the heavens over that business. Not so that they would, you know, that somebody would think, ah, lekker, now you got what you deserve. Now, purely so that man would bow his knee and realize, you know what, there's a God in heaven. And it's actually the grace of God. Sometimes with your snatch will be kipak slagje. That needs just to bang. Slap you off your feet and just get you back to your knees and just realize, you know what, I am not as clever as I thought. And that's exactly what happened, you know. I prayed there for 3 times. Just there at night. Did like Gideon do. If you ever get instruction like that, don't put it on the big clock out there. I'm telling you this afterwards now. Okay, it's okay. But when you're in the middle of that, and don't go and do the same just because you think that's a good idea, because you don't like that person. Please don't do that, because you will do it in your flesh. Make sure that you do that in the Spirit of God. I mean, even with, anyway, long story short, I prayed there 3 times. 6 months down the line, business closed. Now listen here. Some people will say to me, oh, but we're in the economy is so bad. So you're saying to me that God is subject to the economy? No, no, no. That's not the God I'm serving. That the economy is above my God, and he can't take you through this time. I mean, we might go through tough times at this time with drought, with economy, but he's still God. He's still the God. He's still our source. He's still the one that promises, if you put me first, I will see to that. I will take you through that. But here's the thing. Remain humble. Remain dependent. Acknowledge he is your source. God, this is not mine. This business is not mine. This car is not mine. This house is not mine. God, it belongs to you. But you've just given this to me to steal with this. Anyway, but you know the unrighteousness and the arrogance of man. And here's the point I want to bring across, people. And it's not so that you can share the story out there just to tell you the pastor prayed and close your business. That's not, please. That's not what I want to. Just the power of prayer. I mean, I didn't have to fight in the natural and try and find a lawyer just to find a loophole into the system. When Michael Howard preaches about, when God gets involved, you're in trouble, man. You need to run. When God gets involved in such a fight, we just stand back and say, listen, Lord, I've just done my part and I'm standing back. I mean, I didn't fast after that. I didn't pray for another month or two. Oh, God, pray 3 times, forget about it, actually, and say, God, this is now yours. And he did the rest. Now, I hope in this process, I don't know, that the people at least acknowledge and say, Jesus, maybe somewhere we've missed it. That's what we hope for in a process like that. And there are many other references, people. I think once we had Tani Amanda here, they were referring to, she was sharing and testing me on how they, as prayer warriors, were going to specific businesses. Now, this time, this wasn't good businesses. It was actually brothel. Huh? Is that the right word? Yeah. Some of those places, which is just not good for society. And they just stood in front of that business and said, we command this business to close, because this is not good for the kingdom of God. Women selling themselves. People make money out of that. See, we can take authority. That power is inside of you, Manfred. Huh? That power is inside of us. We just have to measure it out. We just have to walk with it in the Spirit of God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where I said in the first service, ek is a tain boy. That's all what I am. You as well. I know you don't like that word maybe. Then call yourself a garden technician. But I know all we are being called to is just water somebody else's garden. He's the only one. He's the only one, the chief here. And he's just asking me every morning, oh, can you go and water somebody's garden there? Can you mow the lawn? Can you do this for me today? Can you let my power flow for you today, where I'm going to send you? Huh? Isn't that amazing? To be in the service of the Almighty God, the main one, is asking you, can you mow the lawn today for me? Oh, no, Lord. I don't like, actually, can you ask me something else? I mean, my kids do that. I have normal kids, you know. I don't have that spiritual kids that, I mean, like any other human being. You ask them to do something and they suggest to you what they really want to do. Isn't that the same with us? Huh? Our nature. Oh, God, but not that one. No, no, please, Lord. Don't ask me. Oh, not that person. No, Lord, you don't understand. You don't understand the situation. I mean, I love our Father. He's just got a way of entering into our hearts, knowing which strings to pull. Anyway, last scripture. Lights on. Revelation 5 verse 8. Can we have that on? We need to release his power through our prayers. Huh? His power is deposited in us. We need to pull that out of the spiritual realm into the natural realm and release that into the natural. Revelation 5 verse 8 says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures And the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Take note of that, which are the prayers of the saints. Okay? Next scripture. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Just stop there for a moment. There was silence in heaven for an hour. Do you know what theologians believe? That's maybe some scriptural foundation that there won't be a lot of pastors and women in heaven. Okay, that's a joke, please. Just the silence in heaven. Okay, no, and I added deliberately my name to the equation just in case you think, you know. Okay, ladies, forgive me. Focus now. Let me just land the plane. Okay. Some of you are angry. This is not funny, Pastor. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it into the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake. Get no Bruna's a sly bucky, so she forgot it here. But she doesn't know, well, she's not here. Her salad bowl is preaching this morning. Very handy. Here's the thing. What did we read in that first scripture? The prayers of the saints. The bowls with the says of the prayers of the saints. So you've got one up there. Can I just remind you? You've got one up there. You probably have a few more there. For your family, for your work, for your whatever situation. I just want to ask you, what does it look like? Or is your prayer life every now and then, because this is the thing about the small key. If we realize what we have access to, we might put in a little bit more effort in filling this. Because here's the thing, this last scripture, I want to get to this. What's happening is we sometimes pray and it feels like nothing is happening. We pray, but all that happens is, let me just take this. It's almost like, use this for example. It's like one more that you're just dropping in there. One more that you're just dropping in there. And Jesus, I continue to pray for my father. I continue to pray for this. I continue to pray for this situation. Jesus, I continue to pray and I pray and you just end and just fill it up. Up to a point when the Bible says where the angel will come at one stage and say, listen, this is filled up now. I have to interfere here now. Just for a moment. Let me go and run. Get some fire from the altar. Mix this with fire, the supernatural power of God. I'm just going to throw it down to earth. Boom! Thunder and lightning. Here's the thing, because the power of God just comes there. And we tap into that. See, God adds his fire to your power. But we need to access that. We need to be persevere. Jesus, we want to see that. Spiritual rain. Living water. Whatever it might be that God is asking you this morning, fill that bowl. Fill that bowl. Not bowl, bowl. Sorry. My wife would help me afterwards and say, you can't say bowl. That is not the same. Okay, just for the record. Fill the bowl. Not the bowl. Okay. He keeps you humble to be here in the front, eh? Help us, Jesus. And end with one more story. And I want us to pray. I was praying the other day. Nobody at home. I love those moments sometimes when I have to get up early, but then I'm limited to how loud I can go because my kids still sleep or my wife or whoever, if I'm awake before them. So I have to close my office door and then do what I want to do inside there. And I have to close my window because I'm just afraid the neighbors hear me as well. But this day, it was in the middle of the day, early in the morning, and there was nobody at home, and I knew this is the moment. And I had an urgency to pray at that moment. You know, sometimes when the Spirit of God would just come upon you, you know you need to pray now. I mean, I had such moments when you just have to go for a walk somewhere at the sea, and you're just somewhere alone where you just have time with God and just let go of what's inside. And I found, especially when the Spirit of God is upon us, that moment that you find yourself a place where there's nobody. I mean, sometimes we can pray silently. We are not in the position to do that. But often when the Spirit of God would stir us to do that, just go somewhere where you're not limited by what people would think or say. You can just There's nobody around you. You can just go for it. So anyway, I had a moment of going for it. And I'm walking around there and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying in tongues and I'm just getting more excited and I'm just praying and I'm praying for a nation. I'm praying for ourselves, or for a church and a lot of other stuff. I can't even remember about the stuff. But now I've got this smart watch. It's actually saying I've got a dynamic workout as we start. So throw it away. But this thing recognizes your, it measures your heartbeat. So from time to time you get this message. If you sit down too long enough, it will tell you, get up. Get up. You know, some of these watches nowadays tell you drink water. And I know some of them, they tell you you drank too much coffee if you put that in as well. I guess I'll get one of those messages as well. But anyway, so I was praying and I was just in the spirit there, busy with God. And then next thing I get this vibration on my wrist and I'm having a look at this. I thought it's maybe a message or something that came through. And then it says this, keep it up, keep it up. Keep it up. What happened? This watch, stupid watch, recognized something in my heartbeat that changed here. Isn't it amazing how we connected and our spirit that's happening the moment we tap into the spiritual, to the stuff of God? And in that moment, for a moment I was laughing, but then the second thought that came to my mind, this is my father. He's actually just saying to me, keep it up, my son. Just keep it up. Keep on praying. Don't give up now. Stupid watch. He can use that, my friend. He can use a stupid watch like that just to say to you, don't give up. So I persevered for another 10 or 15 minutes. I can't remember. My time was running out. And then as I was just landing the plane, I almost want to say, I got another message. Well done. Well done. That's what the Father says to us, you know. Not that we can earn anything. That was too special. I wrote that down. I said, Jesus, this is special. You spoke to me through this watch this morning. Just to let me know that prayer is not in vain. Keep it up. I sense to say to many of us here this morning, to us as a church, that maybe in this year, that God wants you to step up your prayer life. Maybe just to revisit who He is. We forgot about who we are serving. The greatness, the one that is exceedingly abundantly able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we... Jesus, take me back to that place. Forgive me for putting you in a box and saying you are not able. Because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. That's the God I serve. Father, you need to stretch us to a new place. Jesus, you need to take us to a new level of seeing you like we've never, never seen you before, Lord. You need to stretch our mind. You need to stretch our spirit. You need to renew us. You need to refresh us, Jesus. But whatever you need to do, Lord, we want to give you permission this morning, Lord. That, Father, in this year to come, Lord, whether we are building, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, Father, that we will experience you in a freshness. But Father, that we will experience exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine, Lord. Not because we are smart, but Jesus, because you are good, because you are God. Father, that you are the Father that wants to do exceedingly abundantly above else, all else. While every eye is closed, maybe you're here this morning and you are not in a relationship with Christ this morning. It would be my privilege this morning to introduce you to Him. Maybe you've been previously, but you backslidden this morning. You know that you know you're not in that place. Don't you want to give Him an opportunity this morning? He's going to change your life, I promise you. Well, nobody's looking around. I want you this, if that's you, you know that you know that you know that Jesus, I'm not at that place, but I want you in my life. Don't you want to raise your hand wherever you are to say, that's me. I need that prayer. Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you. You can lower your hands. Every eye closed. There may be one more person before we pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.